American cradle of liberty.
Look at you! You're a freak!
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? To contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Mr. Dowd.
Podcasting live from season 8 of the Worst Little Podcast. I'm the Reverend Rory Dowd, and I am happy to have you here with me. I've got my good friends, Mr. Nick Ramirez, Mr. Chewbacca, H. Smith, Miss Kim, Cadillac Kim, and always Dogwater Dick, but more importantly, Reno MC Frank Friday.
On the worst little podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone.
All right. That sounds like a lot of fun.
I'm excited to be here, man.
This is the beginning of the 8th year of hanging out with you guys every Monday.
Loving it.
We should get lives.
Well, this you tried to leave us. And
this,
then...
I think this has outlasted all of my marriages.
Yeah, big time. Yeah.
So far.
That's
so far.
Pretty fantastic.
I mean,
same. Mikey's going to give us
well,
a
well, no, she's never going to catch up unless we quit.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For
the odds are in her favor.
If we don't quit, then she will always be longer than your relationship with
Rick,
her.
Come on now. Wow. Nick and Math are not friends.
For Mikey, though, I've known her 20 years, so we actually started our relationship back then.
Yeah.
You know, and we started the podcast in 2011, so.
She's only been through one.
Yeah,
that was year
20,
one.
Yeah, 2011.
That's why January 18 is 8. That's just perfect.
Yeah, it's easy.
Math
again. Yeah. I'm pretty good. I can add and subtract. I know that X is.
He does stomp his symbol though to keep count.
Yeah, I do fours, sixes, fives are hard.
It's real happy. I'm real happy. It's real happy. I'm real happy, and it's fantastic to have y'all listening to the show today.
Absolutely, it's good to be back. Good to see you guys. Happy New Year.
Chewbacca's back, here. Yay.
Long time no see, brother.
Yep,
you're looking good.
Spent most of my winter down in Arizona, living it up. It's been nice.
How was the weather?
Fucking 75.
It was
sunny.
Pretty
gorgeous.
Much was up here too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was odd. Spending Christmas in Arizona, it's just strange because there's like palm trees and shit with Christmas lights on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they look like dicks?
Was it like
that meme that's going around the internet?
I've never seen it.
Have you seen it? You've never seen it?
Do they look like big long things with like a puffy top?
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Then, yeah, they do look like dicks.
Or mushrooms.
Yeah. That too. Yeah. Lesbian communist.
Wow.
Yes.
Chewy.
Hello.
There's a lot of those. In
the what the hell's that mean?
Exactly. We've been wondering.
Oh, boy.
It's your Tourette's coming out again.
Indeed.
Kim, how was your break?
I got engaged.
Yeah.
Yay! Yay! What the fuck?
Congratulations.
Uh-huh. Damn.
What's your name? Does Elise know?
Lesbian communist.
Is this your first podcast engagement? Or no?
No.
No.
Nick's been married twice since we started.
But it did.
But to people
so
that you met on the podcast?
On the podcast. Exactly.
There was one.
There was an engagement.
You had a marriage to somebody that you met here?
No.
They met here on the podcast.
There was another couple who met on the podcast that were engaged.
They did get engaged.
They didn't get married. They didn't
but they didn't end up getting married.
So,
So we're the second engagement.
Yep. Well, and hey, you know.
You're on your way to being the first married couple from the podcast.
All right.
Who met on the podcast. That's fucking crazy to me. And awesome.
Fucking love connection.
If we just did all those 8 years for that, well, I'm happy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks.
That'd be all worth it.
Thanks, God.
Aw.
It's a lot of work just to bring two dykes together. Jesus.
Oh, ain't that some bullshit?
No, I'm really happy, and I'm also very honored that you guys have asked me to officiate said ceremony.
Oh, cool.
So,
the Reverend is going to marry us.
You're
going to
get what you ask for.
I know. I hope so.
I'm great. Just ask the Masuds.
They're
currently.
Did you marry them?
Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah, they're on
and they're currently
honeymoon.
In Thailand.
That's
They've
right.
been Shanghai'd.
Bangkok.
Yes. I believe they stopped
in Bangkok and have moved on to Chiang Mai.
Chiang Mai is way less fun to say than Bangkok.
Yeah.
That's some racist ass shit right there.
Whoa.
Thank you.
You
thank
didn't like
you,
what you said to yourself.
For putting yourself into place. Okay, yes. Way to call yourself out for your privilege there.
Dude, Rory, how many have you officiated at now? Hasn't it been like 10?
Oh, well more than that.
Didn't she do Andrews?
How many
years
still together?
She's got some strong ones, man.
I'm batting over 500, probably less than 600, though.
So you got like a 50-50 chance
of
Rory marries you to make a list.
You've married over 500 people?
No. That's my batting average.
He's married,
maybe
a dozen people, and six of them may be
lesbians are supposed to know about sports stuff.
No.
Yeah, no, basically.
Neither of us two. We're really bad.
I think I'm at a 7
out of 13. We're terrible lesbians. We're terrible.
It's just like how I can't match colors. I'm sorry, Rory.
A little more than half. 15, little,
oh, okay. However, so far, both of the lady couples that I've married are no longer together.
Why'd you have to say that?
I'm back.
Why'd you gotta bring it down?
I'm third time's a charm. Third time's a charm. That's more on you than her.
Yeah.
It's more on those chicks for like, you know, right? Being douches.
Yeah, I don't blame anybody who married me, any of my other wives, or my wives. I don't blame them for it not working out.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, Denise, who married you and Cheyenne, she was always kind of sad that you guys broke up.
Aww. Well, I hate to say it, but I have officiated a few weddings
have
myself.
You?
Yeah.
To be honest
you. Yeah. Are you batting 1,000?
Well, I mean, they're still together so far, but I feel like I hate to, diminish my service or anything, but personally I'm like, well, I don't know how I feel about your marriage if you're choosing to make me your officiant. I think that you might be inviting a bad omen.
Maybe you're not taking it.
It's like not because
serious.
I'm a bad guy or anything, but it's like, you know, there are other steps you should take.
Ladies and gentlemen, Frank Friday.
Yes, wedding
welcome
Friday.
Welcome to the show here.
Hey.
Is there a .com where people can hire you as an officiant?
No, you have to meet me in like a dark alley and we work things
out. There's a ritual.
Just carry around the paperwork with you and a notary.
Yeah, that's what I carry around in my backpack all the time. I'm just like, well, if you are ready to get married right now,
we could do this.
Yeah, you married.
You
got to
cut me in on whatever your financial arrangement is, but I'll help you out.
Do you offer premarital counseling?
Of a variety. I also offer post-marital counseling.
That's a little more of a one-on-one session, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Sure, Jan. Just kidding.
Aren't you glad you didn't officiate for me, Rick?
Wait, was Rick... Rick was going to?
Uh-huh. I get asked.
Rick was my first pick.
Dude, I used to get asked... I get asked that like a couple times a year by different people.
Mm-hmm. In my
everybody knows
you're like
I'm
the
super...
only religious person.
In my first wedding, I asked Rick to be my best man, and I asked his pastor to be the officiant because she was like a really great friend to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Great person. Awesome.
And oh no, I'm wonderful. I still we keep up mildly on Facebook. She's super, super. For my second wedding, though, Rick was also my first pick to be my officiant.
Rick might be like the only openly Christian person a lot of people know.
No, but Rick is. I mean, we were roommates for 10 years. We've done a lot of personal growth together. Rick's always been my confessor. Yeah. When I've done something really horrible and I need somebody to talk to about it, who won't judge me any more than they already have.
He'll absolve you and shit.
I call up Rick.
But I always say no because if I do it for one person, then I'll have to do it for everybody.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it would screw up my whole life.
Yeah.
Like exactly. I can't. I have to
like
take.
Rory's.
I can't. And I record on the weekends. And weddings are always on the weekends.
You
so
do
I
it for rich people to pay you.
You hire me to officiate your wedding. I mean, you're hiring fucking Richard Simmons.
Exactly.
You know, Rip Taylor. You know. Like,
do you promise to make those hand gestures at my wedding?
I will also have confetti if you can provide it for me. I will throw confetti throughout the entire ceremony.
You were good.
I will punctuate sentences with streamers and confetti.
Yeah.
And I will. No, I. Okay. As an officiant, I.
You're
put
like
together-
a walking Snapchat filter. You are.
I take my job seriously and I make a nice little
ceremony. You should for that money.
The I Miss Wedding was beautiful. How was it, that one?
I hang out with, I'll be hanging out with you girls. We'll get some drinks, get some food, and I'll talk to you. And then I'll come up with a wonderful little entertaining speech that everybody will remember as a wonderful thing that was said as a blessing for your wedding.
Okay.
That's how I do. And if you'd like me there in radio land and internet land to officiate your wedding, you can get a hold of me through the Worst Little Podcast on Facebook.
Are you our first advertiser?
Oh, we've had many advertisers.
Always, our
Pinky Polansky.
You're our first advertiser.
Our very first dollar, because I still have it, Brian Cowell. Brian Cowell, let's say it.
From Murder Rock.
It rhymes with cowbell. No, it doesn't.
That $1 is still paying for it.
Yeah.
Itself.
Can I open this yet?
It's worth more than a dollar.
Oh. All right. I guess at the start of the show, we'll do a little rewind to last episode. We got the lovely Kim a Christmas present that she's opening now.
Wow, that was weeks ago.
Will you?
What is it?
Oh. It's a six pack of wine.
Oh, it's the canned Underwood. Which is this?
It's the John Underwood Pinot Gris.
Oh, the Pinot Gris.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lovely.
Excellent. Have you had any?
Does Pinot mean
ones?
Dick?
Uh-huh. Because
then what does Grigio mean? Because I know what Pinot Noir means.
Sounds like a mess.
Fuck yeah.
What does Pinot?
Means white.
Noir means black.
Grigio means white.
So Pinot Noir would be black dick.
Black dick.
I don't think so.
There's a song about that. Have you guys seen Kimmy
it's
Schmidt?
Dark and light.
I don't think that's what Pinot means, though.
Oh, does Grigio mean white?
What does Pinot
mean? Have you guys seen Kimmy Schmidt?
I decided Pinot means dick,
no,
but it might not.
Nobody has.
Have we seen Kimmy?
That's
Kimmy Schmidt.
No,
the Pinot Noir song?
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah.
So what's the verdict? How do you like the canned wine that I got you for Christmas?
It's delicious. And
is
very
it?
Conveniently
is that,
in a can.
Made in Oregon?
No, you I should don't. Have, I, yes, it is made in Oregon.
I really hope you'd had like a koozie you could put it in, because I think that would just...
I should
have.
Can Rick, I just
do you
carry
have a koozie?
One of these around with me all
yes,
the time?
Yes, I do.
Will you send our production assistant, Brandon?
Yeah. Wait, so I got a promotion too, right?
Can I get another Miller White also?
You're an associate producer.
Yes. Okay.
I don't think his headphones were on when you said that.
That's
too,
all right. I don't need one. I've had enough.
Everybody. It's your old pal Zombo wishing you a very scary Christmas.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad that there was a Christmas moment on the show so that we could play that.
Okay, well, thank you for my Christmas gift. It's delicious.
Yeah, wine, Merry Zombo, Christmas. Smells like Christmas to me.
Sure.
Perfect.
Why not? Hmm.
Yeah. Zombo's the man.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Is he still around?
I don't know. Huh.
He is still with us, I believe. Yeah. But
he's still on Channel 8 or
whatever? I talked to him about, no, the problem was there were a lot of stuff with rights and making his shows able to be aired for the hearing disabled, and that cost a lot.
Yeah,
I mean,
remember him talking about that.
Yeah, he couldn't, you know, he tried doing a Kickstarter, he was still selling t-shirts on the website
again,
and that kind of
deaf
thing.
People fucked it up for everybody.
Oh my God.
Damn.
Well, I don't know.
So bad.
Are deaf people listening to this right now? I don't think so.
And you know,
as long as you guys don't tell them about it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you're the dick.
Well, no, right. No, that's between them and their fucked up hearing friends that tell them shit like that.
Exactly.
So.
Oh, well, I miss Zombo.
I'm not hating on deaf people,
but I mean, the
web.
Hey, if you want a Zombo t-shirt, the website is still there. Order a t-shirt, help support one of these great Reno entertainers who gave his whole life to bringing us bad B movies.
Sexually.
But Zombo's still out there on the internet. Check it out, people. It's good.
Support
Zombo.
Rick, real briefly, did you do anything of a consequence, or did you just record bands for the last 3 weeks?
Aside from recording bands, I did do something show-related, show-related.
Oh, yes!
So, you guys, talking
this
about...
big announcement, drum roll, please.
Oh, this is really exciting for all of our audience.
That's not a
we now have... a Patreon page.
Yay!
What the hell is that?
A Patreon page, Chewy, is a page because the way radio used to work is that people would hire advertisers and the advertisers would have commercials on the show, which junk up the show.
Indeed.
And then you would listen to the show, have to hear the commercials, and they would hope that you would spend money enough with the advertisers to make it feasible for the advertisers to then give the show a little bit of that money. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like this leechy company. And then on top of that, if we said something shitty, like fuck your mom or something, the advertisers might boycott. We might get boycotted and the advertisers would dump it. So the advertisers, like, it was a shitty system. Let's face it, the way things used to work.
Yeah.
Nowadays in podcast land, you can get a Patreon page. Patreon.com/worstlittlepodcast.
Do they provide the sponsors?
No. Anybody who listens to this show can now be a sponsor. You can sign up to we're skipping the middleman. We're skipping the asshole that would stop us from being dicks on the internet.
And if you don't do it anonymously, we will say your name on the podcast.
Fuck yeah. And I can't wait to see how many of you, if we were making like $20 a month or something, it could turn out to be.
That'd be great.
Buy us beer. Yeah,
if you're listening, please throw us a dollar. Patreon.com.
We will
slash
buy us canned wine.
We will not scoff at the dollar donation. Don't feel like that's a slap in the face.
We have always, give us a dollar. We'll say your name. It's part of our theme song.
For $1 a day, you too can support your local podcast.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we are all about archiving Reno music. We have always done this for free. We will always do this for free. We don't ask the bands to come on here to do a fucking thing.
Every show we've done for 7 years now.
Rick even oftentimes gives the bands clean cuts of all the music they make.
Anything. Yeah. We don't try to get them to record at the studio. It's not a come on to record here. It's not. It has always been about archiving Reno music. Think about all the fucking bands that have come and gone that never got recorded.
The list of that, man.
We've done a lot of great stuff for this community.
And so many things. Like, this is the only, a lot of bands, this is the only fucking recording that they ever had was because they came on our show. And because of this show, every band that's happened in the last fucking 6 years in this town, you know how they lost their virginity, whether or not they're circumcised, what they sounded like drunk, and five of their best songs. And we will continue to do that forever. But if you want to be a part of it, if you want to be part of the plan, because it costs us, we lose like between $200 and $400 every week when we do this show.
Yeah.
That if I were scheduling a band for this time instead of the stupid podcast, I could be making that much money.
Kim and I spend $10 a week on beer.
Sean,
right?
The webmaster. And he puts out money annually to keep up the domain names and all the good stuff he does with the website
and all the work Kim does and all the work Rory. All of us give all of this time to do this stuff, so you could be part of it and actually say, you know, we want to help you guys keep having Reno music be a thing that's archived and never forgotten.
Excellent.
So if you would like to be part of it, please, patreon.com/worstlittlepodcast.
We'll have a link to it on the website very shortly.
And I'd like to talk about it briefly for the next 10 or 15 shows.
Just mention it
every show real quick.
Maybe the first half of the
year. We do this for you, and we know you people are out there and listen, even though you never say anything on Facebook. We know you are listening, you jerks.
But give us money. Oh, and our Patreon is designed.
We have numbers.
You don't have to
talk to us.
Just help us do this more.
Most Patreon accounts will give you things if you give money. Ours gives you nothing.
Enjoy.
Nothing.
I will send stickers.
Right.
If you donate big enough, I'll come to your house and eat dinner.
Would you like a Fuck the Reverend Rory Dowd sticker? Because I know I do.
I have a whole bunch
of
those.
And a Worst Little Podcast sticker and a Dog Water Studio
sticker. We need
stickers.
More of those. We'll have more of those soon.
We may have swag down the road, but right now, just to get started, nobody gets nothing.
Yeah,
just get to be a part of the fucking show.
Yeah. No. You get in now and you'll be on the website forever.
And on Patreon, you can give a one-time donation or you can sign up for a monthly thing where you just throw us $1 or $2 or $5 a month or $10 a month, you know, and just be like, every month we get a little bit, and we promise to continue bringing you great fucking shows in return for that.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Well spoken, Rick.
So there you go.
So our commercials are done?
I feel a little spent, and I think we need to get to some entertainment here.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Mr. Frank Friday, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, I am visiting. I seem to visit Reno every other day somehow.
Right. You left.
Yeah.
I'm using the air quotes here. Quote,
well,
unquote,
and strangely,
a couple
I
of
left,
years ago.
Yes,
right?
In 2015, I think.
Okay.
September. I remember it was September 1st.
And since this is your first time on the show, for anybody not in the know, you'd been performing as an MC in Reno for how many years before that?
Let me think about that. So I think that you had Zach Haley, Bazooka Zach, on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is like kind of a funny story that I always try to think about a way to put it in a, like in a way that's like flattering, because it was totally, Zach gave me a really awesome opportunity, but I always just think kind of, it's funny because I started off in his band Bazooka Zoo a few years ago. I think that band was formed in 2010.
Yeah.
Dude, so
okay. They started right around a little before we started.
So backstory for Bazooka Zoo and that whole thing is that Zach and I have the same birthday and lived in Boulder City, Nevada for many years.
That's a great town.
I like it well enough.
I was just in Boulder City a couple days ago.
And so we knew each other for a lot of our childhood and things like that. And then I had finished high school a little bit early, so I was here for college. I moved here when I was like 17, I think.
Finished early, like dropped out because you were a fuck off?
No.
That's what it means when I say it.
Although I was an incredible fuck up in high school, and so the fact that I managed to go to college or do anything like that at all really amazes me, because I definitely failed most of my way through. Funny story about that is that my mom, I saw her, I went back to Boulder City for the first time in almost a decade, and it was like in my family home, and my mom was like, "Hey, do you remember that drawer where you used to keep a bunch of like random files and blah, blah, blah?" And I was like, "Yeah, I remember that." And she's like, "I still have that. And I noticed that you have all these notes where you forged my signature so that you can get out of school." And I was like, "Damn, busted."
Moms always fucking find out.
Yeah.
Dude.
So, well, and then, like, I know a few years ago, like back when I had graduated from my bachelor's program at the University of Nevada, my mom had been seeing somebody for a while, like during my high school years, and she found a bunch of like liquor bottles and things that were just like stashed underneath this old Mercedes we used to have in the garage. And she was like, "I think that he used to drink a lot and was just like having parties here." And I was like, "Yeah, Mom, that's exactly what happened." And it's like, "Actually, I just had crazy parties at the house." And she was there, but like was just like hanging out in her room, just like, "I don't know, I'm just doing my own shit."
You just had parties under your mom's nose. She was there.
And it was wild because it wasn't like she was like neglectful or anything. Yeah. She just thought I was pure. And
and just when everybody have solo cups in front of him and just figured it was orange soda.
Well, she was just like, "Oh, he's having kids over for a dance party. That's none of my fucking business. I don't want to see anyone." And I was like, "Well, let's see if we can turn up right now. And if my mom comes downstairs and is mad, that's just a risk we're going to have to take." Because at the time I was like, "Well, how much trouble could a person possibly get in over this?" And I was like,
Apparently none.
I was like 15 or 16. So I was like, "What are they going to do? Take me to jail?" And it's like, "Well, I mean,
that
know that they might shoot you.
They were gonna call the cops on you. You were at home,
right? You're a man of color.
You
might have just gotten shot.
Yeah, they're just like, you're just dead." And so, but anyway, that's all kind of a digression from the Bazooka Zoo thing. Yeah. But so I joined that group, and we were writing kind of like acoustic folksy songs, which I was super
Bazooka
excited
Zoo.
About. Yeah, that's how they started. That's so funny. You know, that's how we started.
Why don't we have that archive?
Little folksy, like,
we didn't get to them until they had turned space rock.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and that's okay. So then, that's funny that you bring up the space rock thing, is because we started like we would sing. It was like the three of us. It was like JD, Christensen at the time, Zach, and then myself, and we would like sing like little choir shop boys. It was so funny. Like we'd like come up with these cute little like
three part harmony.
Yeah. And it was so fun. And we'd go and practice it in the garage. And that was the humble beginnings of Bazooka Zach. But then things started to take that
you
space
guys could
rock
have been
turn.
The new Weezer.
Yeah. If only. And like I was really excited about that, because at the time I was not somebody who like had any ambition really to make rap music or anything like that at all. Like that had never occurred to me. I had never really thought about myself much as a musician, although I had played classical like instruments for a while before that. But then I left all that behind because I wanted to become a journalist or some shit. I don't know what I really believed, but I wanted to go to college.
Dreams of youth and idealism.
Yeah. So
a hip-hop rapper is kind of a journalist.
Yeah, definitely.
Processes it through his rhymes and tells
it's all storytelling.
Story.
Yeah,
definitely. And so then things took the space rock turn. I think it was the great space rock turn of 2011. And
we all remember it.
You know, I was like, well, this is a little bit out of my depth. Not because like, I'm against it, but it's like this is like a kind of music that I don't really have much you know, investment. I'm like, I haven't listened to a lot of this kind of stuff, and it's just not really what I'm doing. But then they were like, wait, you could rap on some of our records. And I was like, well, that sounds kind of exciting. And like at first I had like my doubts because I used to just like get drunk. I was like a fucking 19 or 20 year old kid at the time. And I'd be like, dude, I think I kind of like freestyling because I had just started really listening to rap at that point, which is kind of funny because I never listened to rap before then really that much.
What did you guys have dance parties to? Like,
you know, pop music was popular. I was super into pop music for a while.
There was some Britney.
Yeah,
some
you know, Britney. The Blackout came out then. That was an important Britney record. I don't know. But anyway.
So them suggesting you rapping is just like when you say, well, you're black, you can play bass?
Well, I mean, kind of yes, I mean, and kind of no. Like. But it wasn't like, it wasn't really like that at all. It was that I had been rapping a little bit before. Like, okay. You know, I just started freestyling. And then like Zach was like, you know, you kind of like to freestyle, so maybe we could do something Gorillaz-esque and you can like have a couple of verses. And I was like, well, you know, this is terrifying, but like, why not give it a shot? And so, and I will also say this about Zach, is that when I was first starting to write my first little rap records and things like that, I was, you know, not particularly ambitious about how I put my words together or things like that. And, like, I was very, very nervous about what kind of, like, beats I'd work with. And I always wanted to do, like, really strictly boom-bap stuff that was really easy to write to. And then Zach would always be like, I think you should try to get out of that genre and do and push your pen a little bit harder. And, of course, I was like, fuck all that. Like, that sounds like I can't do it. But yeah. Then as the years went by, I came to adopt that same kind of thinking, too, where I was like, you know, I'm probably never going to be Jay-Z or Nas or Immortal Technique where I'm putting together, like, you know, these really, really, like, wonderful works of, like, I mean, street quasi-fiction, you know? Mm-hmm. Right. I never, you know, I was like, that's not who I am as a person. That's not the kind of lifestyle I live. But I thought, but I can make kind of exciting compositions and really do things with interesting things with my voice and, you know, make records that are fun without being lazy. And so Zach was a really, really instrumental part in my coming to think about it in that way.
Cool. Well, let's hear something right now. What do you got for us?
Yeah. I can't wait.
Well, do you guys want me to rap like right now, or do you want to hear one of my records?
What do you want to do? Yeah, we like it live, but we'll listen to a record.
Well, okay, so how about we do this way is, if we want to play one of the instrumentals, I'll see what I can do in performing a live song, and then I will show you guys some of my new records. I have something new that's out, and I'd love to share that with you.
Yes. Cool.
All right. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Well. All right. You know what? Let's start with your new release. We'll go to the live performance later. Let's start with the new release. Get a promo bump out of the way.
Yeah. Why
first,
not? Or, yeah. Okay.
Which is something no one's ever heard that you're dropping here for. Right now.
Okay, if that's what you guys want to hear.
Yeah, is this a Worst Little Podcast exclusive?
So this one is, actually, and so this is an unfinished record that I'm actually, I think that my producer is probably going to be like, hey, you fucking asshole.
Nobody's going to hear.
But
don't tell him you were on the show.
Yeah. I'll let him know after the fact, and he probably won't notice. But so this one, I just wrote it. It's called Friday Feeling. I'm working on a second release. So the thing is, when I left Reno in 2015, I like went to go do a master's program and was like, I really like music, but I had been kind of on like a dry run in terms of inspiration and things like that. And it's just like, well, maybe I'm just going to take a break. And then over the summer, I had gotten really sick and was just like feeling pretty fucked up in life in general. But the producer of this record and of the EP that I just put out, T. Hayes, reached out to me and he was like, hey, it's been a few years since we made some songs. I have some shit. Do you want to hear it? And I was like, yeah, let me hear it. Somebody else had reached out to me and was like, oh, I want to work with you as well. And I was like, well, this is interesting that this is happening to me at this moment in my life. And I thought, let me just get back on the old horse to see what it's like. And so that's how a lot of these records have come together. The Frequent Flyer EP, which you'll probably hear a little bit of on this show maybe, is just a three song record that's actually secretly inspired by the fact that I watched every single episode of Dynasty from the 1980s.
Dude.
I watched every single episode this summer.
Wow, that's rad.
Was that the one that part of it turned out that it was all a dream?
No, that was Roseanne.
Joan Collins.
No, Dallas. Was Dallas.
Oh, was that
Dallas? No, the dream was the hospital one.
JR.
That it's happened three times. Yeah. I think it was Dallas and
Dallas was a
and the
dream
Bob
too.
Newhart show too, right?
Oh yeah, that technically that's true.
That's very true.
I haven't had the chance to get to Dallas.
Saint Elsewhere.
You guys
Saint
Elsewhere. Spoiled
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
You guys spoiled
oh, that's
it.
Okay.
And Breaking Bad, where he wakes up and he's actually in Malcolm in the Middle, and he had a dream. Yeah,
I do remember that storyline. Yeah. But yeah, so I like you know I developed this really really like. Interesting and random obsession with trash TV kind of as a result of being sure. in a master's program and in my doctoral program. I was like, this shit is so heavy and it's getting really annoying. So it's like, what can I watch that I'll just really enjoy?
Yeah, a bunch of mindless
and,
nonsense.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And like, because there was a while where I like was reading, like I read every single X-Men like comic that like came out like ever. And then I was like, well, you know, as I read that, I came to develop a lot of like literary appreciation for it. And once you do that, then you fucking ruined it. Like, well, now I'm like thinking about writing essays about this. And so it's like now, and then I was like, but you know what? I'll never write an essay about Dynasty.
That's will a lie. Enjoy it. You will.
Yeah, probably
you
I will. I think so.
You talk about it a lot.
And the thing is, I like was in bed one of these days, like thinking about what I was going to write my doctoral like prospectus on. And like, I had a dream. This is sickening.
What's your doctorate in?
So I'm working on my doctorate in rhetoric composition and digital humanities. And so my dissertation dissertation right now is loosely about identity formation, community, and activist rhetorics in digital spaces. And so a part of what I'm thinking about is like, okay, well, how do activist movements begin to affect or how begin to like organize online and then spread into reality? But then I'm also thinking, well, reality as in meat space, which we're all occupying right now.
Right.
And then I'm also thinking about how identity movements impact governance. And so a part of that is like looking at how Nazis are really fucking organized on the internet and having a really great time at impacting what's going on in our world. And, you know, people think, oh, it's like kind of this fringe thing that's going on, and they don't realize that actually the rhetorics that are kind of being propagated in those spaces are gaining a lot of traction and spreading with a lot more like ferocity than we even begin to imagine.
Not giving them enough credit.
Yeah.
Do you think if we understand it, we can fix it?
Yes, kind of. So essentially what my project looks at doing, besides just like looking at it kind of descriptively, is thinking about how we can, you know, and I think this is like the arrogance of all academics, is that we think that you can intervene with things like literacy and blah, blah, blah. And to a great deal, you can, because I think that a lot of people who get taken in by that rhetoric are typically very vulnerable people who are falling prey to like the deception.
Stronger.
Media. People
dominant.
Well, exactly. And it's just like, you know, and I'm not in any way saying that everybody who is a newscaster on something like Fox News or like Breitbart, although many of them are assholes, absolutely. But I'm not saying that all of them are Nazis. But what I am saying is that those people typically are people who have graduate level education or higher.
And telling know what people, the fuck they're doing.
Yes, they know what they're doing. And they're telling those same people, like, you know, it's like, imagine being... You know, I always bring up this example. It's like these people with law degrees and graduate degrees go on Fox News and then tell their viewers that going to get an education is an elitist exercise.
And those viewers are just
exercise.
Hungry for somebody to tell them what to do and what to think. Yeah, so that's
and
a
so
point.
You know, and they give these people a false sense of agency sometimes. And it's like, you know, if we. So I think that our duty, and of course you'll get assholes where you like you give them greater literacy and they use that access to go become assholes on Fox News. Right. But I'd like to think that most people are inherently kind of decent and don't want to become Nazis if they know what they're if they know what they're
they
being
know there's
faced
another option.
With.
Yeah. I'm gonna borrow a phrase from you from a few seconds ago, saying, "And this shit is just a little heavy." So. Let's have something a little more mind candy and have a song.
Yes, of course.
Rick?
Thank you. got a feeling, I got a feeling. Yo, I got a feeling, I got a feeling. I got a feeling, yo, I got a feeling. We but they get it, yo, we but they get it. Yo, we but they get it, we but they get it. Yo, we but they get it, yo, we but they get it. I got a feeling, I got a feeling. Yo, I got a feeling, I got a feeling. I got a feeling, yo, I got a feeling. We but they get it. Yo, we but they get it. Yo, we but they get it. We but they get it. Yo, we but they get it. Yo, we but they kill it. Watch me pull up on the curb. See you and don't say a word. Niggas who see through and I am too lethal, so I don't throw dirt in these birds. Yo, I got some money to earn. Still, I got money to earn. And if they don't know at this point, I'm the illest. Let this be the digit they learn. Yo, masterclass of this rap shit. You best settle like sophomores. I'm blasting back with that classic, like Little Kim on that hardcore. Just let it out of New York. Came to get that work. Came this way to bring the pain again. Lose two, told it in the dirt. I got the feeling, I got the feeling. Yo, I got the feeling, I got the feeling. I got the feeling, yo, I got the feeling. We but they get it, we but they get it. Yo, we but they get it, we but they get it. We but they get it, yo, we but they kill it. Yo, when your mouth, I run up on these rappers. I clap them, attack them, they dead in the slump. Or blast at your cap in the heat of Nevada and leave you asleep in the bed of my trunk. Who want it, who want it, who want it, who want it? I pull up 100 and get niggas running. Don't think that I won't just pull up. But the function is spit that heat at you, turn that shit to dust. Yes, I will fucking up trust. Killing this shit is a must. Niggas been talking too much, but I heard they records, they garbage. And honestly, I had enough. I knock them out like Muhammad Ali, commonly with a doom. And it can't be described from Soho to 7 to 5. Then Friday, I make it environment, they can't survive. Bitch, I am keeping it life. Bitch, I am killing they vibe. Who made it switch? I hurt them, I burn them, I pull them, I break them, I kill them inside. I get the hype, I spit that fire, that coke, that magnum, that opus. I'm kicking that dope. Illest, the killer, the baddest, the villain, the last of the legends. Call me to do hope. I got a feeling, I got a feeling. Yo, I got a feeling, I got a feeling. I got a feeling, yo, I got a feeling. We but they get it, yo, we but they get it. Yo, we but they get it, we but they get it. Yo, we but they get it, yo, we but they kill it.
That was pretty fucking cool.
Hell yeah.
Damn.
Some bass.
Yeah, so I'm still working on that. I'm gonna go in tomorrow and actually, like, I like made a million notes on this, and I was like, let's get some things fixed up. But I wanted to share that demo anyway because I'm really excited.
Yeah. So if people pick it up later, it will be the finished final version.
Yes, exactly.
Right, so this is a teaser.
Yeah, and so this is coming out on a second EP that I'm working on right now. So I recorded the Frequent Flyer EP like during my last visit in Reno, which was in November. and Todd had sent me some of those records, and then I came in here and I was like, hey, let's just get this done while I'm out here and like put it out I'm acting like that was my impetus. I was like, let's record these records and then see what we can come up with. And I wanted to get like guests on the track and things like that. And Todd was like, no. We are putting this shit out tonight. And then I was like, all right, okay, we will. And so then I turned around and I was like, well, let me carry that energy with me forward. And so now we're working on a range of other songs. I haven't come up with a name for the new one yet. I'm trying to practice this habit where I don't name things or commit to release dates or anything like that before everything's laid out and done completely.
Until it's done.
And yeah, I feel good about
it. Less pressure.
It's like when a lady has a baby and she's just all, let me look at it first.
your name's Herbert.
She looks like a Joy to me. Yeah.
You're Timmy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's really what it is, because there have been a lot of like false starts, like where I've been working on like new albums or things like that.
And you got to explain stuff and you might as well.
When I draw faces and figures, I don't put eyes on them until the end.
That's smart.
Because the eyes make the expression and the person there.
Yeah.
You know?
It really telling.
That's kind of the finisher. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I'm
and titles,
like,
the same way.
And that's how the last EP kind of came together as I was writing stuff. And then I was like, well, you know, I like this line in this one song, so we'll just name it that. I thought, wow, this felt so much better than coming up with this concept and then writing these songs around it and putting them into these slots, where then eventually I have an album of songs where I'm like, I don't really like this very much. So it's all scrapped, which has happened countless times over the years. That's definitely been something that I'm trying to get away from. And I've been actually rediscovering a lot of songs that I wrote over the years like since probably sometime in 2012, which is that's the year that I actually like decided. I think that's the year the Frank Friday name was come up with, and I started performing regularly. And since then, I have like written and recorded like so much music that I'm just like, I don't fucking like this very much, so never mind.
Abandon it and move on.
Yeah, and yeah. Now I'm looking back at it again and finding it again where, you know, sometimes you're like digging through like the digital crates of shit you have like on the internet, and you're like, you know, this deserved more of a chance than I gave it. Mm-hmm. And I'm in a different mental space where now I can respect the, if not the if not the final project, then at least the process that like went into it. And I think that that's something that I've, you know, that's like kind of a part of maturing as an artist, is that you come to respect the process more than thinking about this end product that will do X and Y and like get people to feel like whatever. It's like, you know, I just want to make the music and enjoy that process and enjoy my collaborators and call it a day. It's not always about like what the finish line looks like.
Right. Well, and then going back, I do this a lot with my old journals, like going back and looking at that old stuff that you're either really stoked about or really against.
Yeah.
I've thrown shit away.
Just
And then like, and then you look at it 2, 3, 5, 10 years later, and you know, you actually, there are little bits of gold in there, and yeah, most of it is crap that you should have thrown away, But there, you do find stuff that is still a good idea, a good turn of phrase, a good beat.
Definitely. And I also find that there are moments in your life that are kind of trapped in amber when you're like looking at stuff like that, or certain like element, you know, there's a certain optimism in that like earlier part of my youth where I was like, oh, this will be a really exciting thing for me to do with my music, that like a little bit of time, like I was like, oh, I don't know about that. But now I'm like, you know, if I don't love everything about what I wrote here or how it sounded, then when one thing I do like is that I can still sense that excitement in the songwriting.
Sure. Yeah,
and I mean, I still feel that excitement, but my excitement's about different things. Like right now, my excitement is that I have insurance. So,
congratulations, sir. You've won the lottery.
Seriously.
Yeah. It's more than I got.
Yeah, and you jet set, without delving into it, I don't know if you want to like talk about it too much, but you jet set between Reno and New York there you're a model, a marketer, a singer-songwriter.
I didn't know
that.
I do a lot of things.
And a postgraduate student as well here.
Yeah, I do a lot of things.
Your side hustles have side hustles.
You from Reno?
No, so I moved to Reno in 2009. That's when I did my undergrad. And I still, to this day, I just need to find who I talk to at UNR so I can just be like, how did I get? And I know that it's not like it has a high acceptance rate, but the fact. Okay, so you know how you used to do your like big math test? I don't know if this has always been true, but like in 2009, you had to do your big math test. And that's like going to make the big difference between whether or not you get out of high school and can go on and do shit with your life. And I literally know that I marked that test just a smiley face because I was like, I'm shitty at math. I don't give a fuck about this.
I was working at
City Hall or something like that at the time. And I was like, I don't give a shit about going to college. But then I like, on a whim, was like, maybe I do. And then that turned out to be a really good decision for me because it turned out that I actually liked school and just hated my situation at the time. So
good.
And that's like, so that's something. Here's my preaching moment of all this is that, you know, if you know people who are in school, or if you're somebody who's in school and some part of that is important to you, or that's really anywhere, like if it's a job or if it's something that you're doing with your life that's an important pursuit to you, before you give up and throw it out or turn away, like maybe, you know, evaluate the context and like what's going on with you emotionally before you make that decision, because it may just be that there are other things impacting you and it's not the thing that you're doing itself.
Wow, that's great advice, dude.
It's totally true.
Yeah,
at any time or age.
Shit, I do that shit just when I'm like, you know, dealing with the teller at the bank. Oh, sorry, man. It's not your fault.
Fuck. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm so guilty of that. I feel like I sound like such a douchebag whenever I'm
I do that all the time. I did that to the chick at Staples today when she didn't have the right answer for if I could use the card stock for the printers. I was like, what you mean? The chick yesterday did. And I was like, maybe I'm being a dick and I should try to talk to her a little bit nicer.
Yeah. Maybe I'll be nicer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank all of us.
Hey, Brandon, to the main room, please.
Ah. You called him his
real
name.
Yeah, I've beat on the doors of Taco Bell's at 3 in the morning yelling and you don't foaming get in the mouth. And, luckily did not get arrested. That was exciting. But yeah, that does not get you anywhere except a burrito that you're not going to eat because you made a scene. Yeah. They probably spit in it. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you never should fuck with anybody handling your food before.
No, and I've worked fast food. I know better than that shit. But, sometimes it's 3 in the morning and you're mad at your ex-wife, well, currently wife, and, you yell and scream.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you ever go anywhere with Rory, don't let the people know that you're with him. Because they'll spit in your food too.
Guilty by association.
Exactly. Now that's a different table.
I've been married to a chef here, and I'm a little different now.
I've heard you better.
My ways.
This is the life advice episode, everybody.
I guess so.
Yeah. Oh, how sweet.
Welcome to the new year. Hey, did you make any resolutions? I sure the fuck did not. Let's go around the room and see what everybody's resolutions are. We'll start with the man to my left, Mr. Nick Ramirez. Did you make a New Year's resolution, Nick?
Yeah, I resolved to not enable half friendships and only put my energy into real friendships.
Good job.
Excellent.
Fuck, so you're not talking to me anymore, huh?
No. Everybody in this room is safe.
Okay. And good knowing you first.
Frank, I'm just getting to know, but I can tell already.
Dude, I know
we should be friends.
I know see you once a week and we only talk on the show, but I really do think of you as a real friend.
Me too. Everybody here is safe. All right. Even Brandon, you're safe.
Thanks, Brandon.
He is my friend. He just handed me a beer here.
That's
we see each other once a week. We are friends,
Frank, do you have any New Year resolution?
Kind of. So it's not really necessarily something that started in the New Year, but it was something that I really wanted to carry with me. And so it was kind of two things. And it was for me, it was really, really in making a commitment to show, share, and really express my appreciation for the people in my life that I care about. Because it's so... That shit can be abruptly be over with. And so I think it's so important for you to just say, just let people know how much you care about them.
Because
you don't fucking know. And you don't know how much that can change somebody's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Life, too. It's just hearing that somebody cares about you, especially because we all go through fucked up shit. And a lot of times, and I know that this is a part of why I was thinking this is when I was starting to feel all sick and shit. And I was going through random surgeries and doing all this shit over the past, last 6 months of the year, I was this is really terrible. And I was I'm keeping all of this stuff to myself. And I know that it's probably not this is something I probably didn't necessarily have to keep to myself. And I thought, if somebody is going through something similar in their life, I want them to at least know that they have at least one space in their life where they have a friend that they can, share those burdens with. Because, I know this is kind of childish, but it's the fact is, I think that we should, act on this duty that we have to kind of get through this bullshit together. I think that we too often live in a moment where we get really focused on our individualism or we get too focused on our individual stories. And I think if we step away from that context momentarily, it really makes the weight of life somewhat less unbearable. And so,
All right.
Totally.
That's going to be hard to follow that.
I have a tagline at the end of the show. It's, life is short. I love you.
Yep. Right before Christmas, I was down in Arizona and I decided I'd go to an NHL game. I was flying home Christmas Eve. So I went to my first NHL
Lucky
game.
Dog there.
And so
my
New Year's resolution was kind of to get back into following hockey a little bit more. And to watch more hockey because I love the game and I really don't know any of the players anymore and I focus so much on football and basketball and all this other shit. So just a few days ago, I went to a Las Vegas Knights game and I've kind of fell in love with that team and so now I will be
a Knights fan.
So hopefully this year I'll follow through and start watching more hockey because I love the game.
Are the Knights real NHL?
Oh yeah, they're for real and they're in first place and they're kicking ass.
Oh really? Shit!
I went to a sold out. Hockey game right on the Las Vegas Strip, right at T-Mobile Arena. It's fucking awesome.
Oh, I saw some footage from that, and I appreciate.
Why are
you,
we Knights fans? My wife told me we're fucking Sharks fans.
Well, yeah, I like to, I've been a Sabres fan for my whole life almost. I love the Buffalo Sabres.
I really want to get into like blues, sports, yeah. So yeah. I think that this is going to be the one I get into because you know it's like exciting for us to get. Like,
it's nice
for us
to have sports like it's our first together. Yeah, because apparently I'm supposed to know sports.
Well, yeah, that's your duty.
Hockey was a lot. I'm just gonna say hockey was a lot cooler in the 70s and early 80s when helmets were not required.
That was a thing. Holy shit!
And
well, your hair was a helmet back then.
And yeah. There were more fights than games.
Yep. And we've it's our first like major pro sports team in the state of Nevada.
It is, yeah.
And why not support them?
All right.
For real,
yeah, right.
Somebody's got
till the Raiders get here.
Yep, I already love the Raiders, and that's just you know, no question there. So. Kim,
it's my turn. Honestly, this might be a little bit heavy, but my resolution is to take myself a little bit more seriously, particularly in relation to like this music thing that I've kind of fallen ass backwards into. I mean, yeah, it's weird. I'm running a fucking festival next month, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know how fuck that happens.
We'll talk about that towards the end of the show, but punk rock flea market.
Yeah.
Gotta go check that out at the Generator.
It was just one of those things that was my passion for so long that I didn't think I could ever be part of any of it because I'm not a musician, but like here I am. So
yeah,
I just want to keep.
Well, I know what that's like.
I totally know what that
is. I'm not a musician either.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
music needs appreciators too. Not just
I wasn't a musician, and then I was all, oh, you just teach yourself how to play music, and then you can
be a musician. Yeah.
It's not that easy for everybody.
And
it's 20 not easy
years,
for me.
20 years later,
people
think that I'm a musician.
No, I want to keep doing this for as long as
you're
I can.
You're in a good position, Kim, and you can tell you love music, so you're going to
We're happy to have you on the team.
Yep. Fuck you, Nick.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey,
I love talk radio, too.
What about you, Spanky?
I have no New Year's resolutions.
Yeah. Yeah.
What am I supposed
to
do?
You're one of them, huh?
I can't give up drinking. I can't start. I can't start smoking less weed.
You can't start. Smoking,
I can't. You
start
can't be any
again.
More celibate.
Why don't you put down the pussy?
Can't quit banging hoes.
No. Nope.
Can't. Yeah.
You
can't
can
start.
Tell you
the,
oh wait. You
I
could,
don't do anything wrong.
No. You
most,
could
most
touch
of what
yourself
you do is
less.
Healthy. You could stop drinking.
Dude, are you right? I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do fucking. I don't smoke.
You
I quit
yourself.
My pipe last year, so
you
I don't. I don't even smoke
did
a pipe
you really?
Anymore.
You could stop.
Yeah.
Sexually harassing women.
I don't do that. I don't even. I don't sexually harass dudes.
You have a pretty healthy
fucking,
diet.
You
I
could stop
man.
Eating meat and being a part of the patriarchy.
No, yeah, I could become vegan. I have another. I could stop jaywalking.
You think that being a vegan would make you a better person?
Stopping jaywalking is a really good resolution.
You could stop being smug.
I mean,
jaywalking does piss me off.
I'd like to exercise a little more and eat a little better, but I was trying to do that a month ago, so that's not really
that
a resolution.
Really,
I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do. What do you do when you already quit everything?
Get into hockey.
Sure. Stop being so
start following another hockey team.
Stop
with
being
Chewbacca.
So smug, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, no, I'm too perfect already. I'm sorry.
Well,
guys.
He is God's favorite.
Maybe you should try to be
and
more
he
humble.
Is actually also my mother's favorite son.
my mom.
I'm the gay son they wish they had.
Right. Instead of the not gay son that was such an almost.
Rick, did you read Roughing It yet?
Read what?
I've got an hour left in
What's
it.
What's that, Mark Twain?
Fuck. Yep. Well,
so
I guess you can't
I'm up
do that.
I'm up to the Hawaiian part.
Okay.
So yeah, Mark Twain. It's totally Mark Twain.
Rick, guess what Diana and Riku got me for Christmas?
What?
The Big Bonanza.
Fuck yeah! Fuck yeah!
Diana said she Isn't tracked the, down the
did you
last
find
copy
the,
in town.
Did you find
oh
the actual
my god,
print
that's
book?
Awesome!
Is it the print super small? You need like a magnifying glass
no,
to read it? Because
no,
I got it too.
It's about like it's
I got a copy downstairs.
It's exactly the same as the one I had gotten for Rick.
Gotcha.
And then Diana evidently tracked down the
you guys
other
are literary
last
nerds.
Copy in town.
I have
that's
no
awesome.
Idea what they're talking about.
No, I should read
Mark
more books.
Mark fucking
Twain. No,
this is the Big Bonanza was written by Dan DeQuill,
who was Mark Twain's roommate. When they lived
great
in Virginia
friends.
City.
Yeah.
The Washoe Giant.
They actually lived together for
and it,
a while.
And it is about the Comstock Lode and the people and the machinery.
So history
and
of the Comstock
the
Lode written from somebody who was actually firsthand there.
Who wrote City of Trembling Leaves?
That was
Walter
Van
Tilburg
Clark.
Were they
and Walter
friends?
No, different time periods. Walter Van Tilburg Clark died in 1971, and these other people died like early.
18.
Before, yeah, something.
90.
Dude, but Walter Van Tilburg Clark put together the journals of Alfred Doughton. And Alfred Doughton was friends with
a peer and friend
yep.
of Dan DeQuill
and knew briefly Samuel Clemens.
Book nerds.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you guys. That's
satisfactory.
So fuck yeah, you, dude. I read it and it's awesome. So you gotta like let me know like, when you're reading it.
I read it and then I kind of stopped when he left Nevada. Like, so I didn't ever even get into the Hawaii stuff. I'm sure it's good.
Oh, you mean Roughing It? Now we're back on Roughing It because I'm the other
ones.
That's what
we're talking
about. You only care if it's in Nevada.
Dude, so yeah, there's Hawaii stuff.
I read it when I was about 19.
The story, he comes across the entire country in a wagon train, so you hear about all the places he hits, and you always wonder what that would be like.
Mark Twain, he's got such a good sense of humor and a crazy way of looking at shit.
Yeah. How do you get to Hawaii?
The story about when he gets to Utah and he spends the time with Brigham Young.
Yeah, makes fun of fucking... And
held
he makes
his
fun of
the whole way.
Oh,
he makes fun of everybody across the entire country, and he makes fun of the Mormons. Then he gets to Nevada, and he makes fun of people here, and he makes fun about what a lazy piece of shit he is. And then all of a sudden, I'm reading the book, and he goes to Hawaii on a ship, and so he makes fun of how the Hawaiians live and what their culture's like. He's just a total dick. It's awesome. it's a long rambling.
He's a national
book.
Treasure, Mark Twain.
It's rambling. It's a story about this, story about this. There's nothing
cool.
It's not all.
Like have you
cool
ever
story,
read or watched any of John Waters' travelogues? It's kind of catty like that.
Oh, okay.
They're written in the 1870s, where the whole way of looking at shit was different.
But a far more loquacious way of speaking.
I don't know how they have enough time to think. Like that to make it come out like that. Well, just to
is
be
that our word of the week this week?
That's fucking crazy.
It's loquacious.
Loquacious. I like that.
Mark Twain had a lot more time because he didn't have the internet and the Facebook.
Are we getting
and
a bit tangential?
Hey! No, that's the old.
I think I almost
made a
last joke.
Year, man.
That's so last year.
That was season 7. Yeah. That was season 7.
Yeah. I'm over it.
Over that
now
season.
Now we're into loquacious shit.
Loquaciousness is the new... tangentialness.
That's right. Welcome to the worst little podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
And then these blue collar buffoons butcher the vocabulary.
Loquaciousness.
Frank Friday, can
you
save us?
Do you like that alliteration there? Blue collar
buffoons.
Frank
Friday needs to
save us with some music.
He might need
dude.
Saving.
If you're not into loquaciousness, go fuck yourself.
Oh. Yeah.
That should be a bumper sticker right there. That's a good one.
Okay, so let's see. Well, I guess I played you guys the song from my unreleased,
the brand new
formed. Shit. Yeah. So I'll show you some not so brand new shit, but fairly brand new since I put it out not too long ago. And then we can do something live after that.
Okay.
We'll come back and maybe ask him some more questions.
Okay. Woo! That sounds good.
Excellent. Yeah.
Ricky cool. Got some music from Frank Friday?
So which one you want to hear?
Play Frequent Flyer, please.
Brooklyn, Bronx, bitch, why he hollering? Everywhere you catch me, bitch, I'm wildin'. Anything I walk in, props are stylin'. On a yacht out to Staten Island. I'm on some new shit, stacks I'm piling. Any song I rock upon, I mean that slaps I'm violent. I frequent flying international mileage. Back with some hot shit, fresh out of college. Put you on the game, baby, kick you some knowledge. I get your nigga hooked, I ain't talking about phonics. Make him so sick, man, constant chronic. I be bugging him forever, ain't no antibiotics. What's all this shit, man, ain't it ironic? How you switch up when you see me, you a fan of the sky's brick. These niggas love me, they just still in the closet. I don't dwell upon these struggles, see them not with the gossip. I'm about profits, massive deposits. I be cooking up in Pyrex, sticking in pockets. Step into my territory, you could get robbed quick. No witness when they stand, you find that ass in the garbage. This hotness been a bit with them back, bitch. I'm right the hot prop, so invest in the stock quick. The top pick, when they want them about hit. My flow is automatic, let me let off a hot clip. Kingsbridge, Stytown, Soho, Wall Street. Anywhere the paper go is where you'll find me. Ain't no doubt about it, so my mic is nice speed. So anytime I drop, I get it hot and hype. Why I gotta worry if that dick don't let me? That bastard at the faucet, that's a faulty Pisces. And ain't a dick or nothing ever irk me, son. I still got 99 problems, still a dick ain't one. Still the baddest villain ever, I kill fits for fun. Been the illest for a minute, let me get them funds. When I run up in the building, bet the game's soon done. I throw that jersey on my shoulders and my back, we won. When I hit the lick, I switch, I been ballin'. Million dollar baby swinging them rings, they been callin'. You could bring your whole team, so bring my son all the way. Let me switch up on them, my nigga, how about you pull it? Pussy, 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 pussy.
Peace. I'll be teaching master classes and rapping and blessing. I just got these masses blowing plastics when I to get on the masters. Always fair fire, it's caustic, the course be drastic. And the game be missing me and my magical brand of havoc. About to drop a bomb again, hydrogen fucking massive. About to drop a bomb again, hydrogen fucking massive. Better run for cover, I'm coming to fucking fetch it. It's Young Friday Fantastic, I'm back with a fucking class. Kingsbridge, Stytown, Soho, Wall Street. Anywhere the paper go is where you'll find me. Ain't no dead about you, some of my mic is nice beat. So anytime I drop, I get that hot and hype. Why I gotta worry if that dick don't let me? That bastard at the flaccid, that's a faulty Pisces. And ain't a dick on earth that ever irked me, son. I still got 99 problems, still a dick ain't one.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So that was a sustained dick joke. Just what's really funny about like favorites. Choosing
when,
to.
When did you release that?
Okay, so let me think. I came here in November 16th, like in last year. And then I think that I left probably like December 1st. So I think that's when it came out.
Nice.
And then I came back here on December 16th. But that's a whole other thing. I remember when, like, we were kind of working on that arrangement and everything, and we were talking about, it would be great to, like, try to, like, write, like, more. I've been, like, kind of, like, trying to write more hooks and things, and I was like, someday I'll be able to write a record that's maybe a little bit more radio-friendly. And originally this was going to be that one, but then eventually I had that really long dick joke that like just plays out through that whole song, and there was just like a lot of bad words, and I was like, well, you know, maybe I
next
just
one,
won't
maybe
be,
next
know.
Time,
yeah. And it's like, but I think I say that every time. I'm like, all right, this is gonna be the one where where I can make something a little bit more palatable to the masses, but then you get a dick joke,
right. Now, who do you work with for your music?
So yeah. I work with some various people, but my primary collaborator and the person that you've heard tonight is T. Hayes. He is a local producer out here. He's
related to Grace?
No, they're not related, strangely enough, but they are friends.
Cool.
Yeah. I wondered if they were, even though I've known Todd for many years, when I started becoming aware of Grace, I was like, have they been related
like
this whole
cousin?
Time? Even though he's a white guy and she's decidedly not a white guy. Yeah, I've been working with him for several years. So more fun backstory. Around the same time that I was like thinking, oh, maybe I can embark on this solo endeavor, the first couple of songs I recorded were with Zach Haley, but I was not really ready to perform or do anything like that. So this is another one of my coming of age like stories and music, is that while that was the case, I've always been really, really fucking competitive. It's like one part of my like personality that I always find myself surprised by. And so they were like, at first they were doing these shows and they'd have me come out to do this Rage Against the Machine cover that they had me do, because they're like, you have rhythm, so you can do this. And so I was like, yeah, well, all right. And so that's kind of how I dipped my toes into like doing a live performance. But then I remember that I think I still have the poster that I designed from 2012. And they were doing this series at the Third Street Bar called Bazooka Zoo and the Crew, and they invite a bunch of their guys to like play their things. And then T. Hayes like had left Bazooka Zoo. We were not in the band at the same time, but he was in it, or I was in it, and then I left. And then he joined after I had left, and then he left to do his own thing because he wanted to get into making electronic music. And so my friends were like, "Oh, you should link up with T. Hayes, like." It will be really, really cool for you to do that. You know, you can rap with him, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't really know. But then I have this other friend from Boulder City who doesn't live here anymore, and he rapped too. And so then he was there that night of that concert, and then they were like, oh, well, maybe he'll just come up here and rap instead. And I was like, I don't fucking like this.
Yeah.
I was like, I am not going to be like, I just can't let this happen where, you know, and I was like, it would be cool if he rapped.
The foundation of a lot of rap and hip hop has gotten so you know, over the years, it's based on competition.
Yeah. And, you know, and like for the thing is, I was like, that's my friend and I want him to do it. But I was like, but I'm not going to let it fucking happen that this guy is bold enough to go get on stage and start rapping. And I'm not.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's how Frank Friday was really, really born as a performer. Was that kind of like, I was like, dude. If you don't do this right now, then it's really weak of you.
Yeah, now it's
you
on.
Step
man.
Up. Yeah.
Step right, up. Rick, or step
can,
off.
Can you play that one track that I like?
Rory, you fucking retarded douchebag.
As you wish, Mr. Dowd.
We miss you, Bobby Slayton.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the worst little quiz in the world where I'm going to ask Frank a series of uncomfortable, awkward, and publicly embarrassing questions while we judge him. Ha ha!
Bring it on.
Are you ready to play?
Yes.
All right. Very good. We're going to go with some old school and new school questions here. And Nick's going to come back with more questions. He's going to get questions, literally.
They're growing in the backyard.
Yes. What is the first album you ever purchased with your own money?
Medulla by Bjork.
Wow, that's gay.
There's nothing wrong with Icelandic people, okay, Riku?
We're especially weird looking
Christ.
Ones.
Christ.
What is the first rock show you've ever been to? Or not rock show, but just, you know, big concert.
So I don't know if this is really big. I can't even remember very many of the people. Well, actually, no. The first rock show that I ever went to was Gwar, and there was a big controversy.
Oh, my God. Fuck.
Is that the one where they ripped the baby or the fetus out of Monica Lewinsky?
Oh, I don't think it was that one.
That was a good one.
They ripped it out of somebody. The year I saw it, they ripped it out of Michael Jackson. Uh-huh. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I remember I went and my friend wanted to really go and like I was like kind of into that music, but I was like more into like kind of like the really shitty hardcore music and pop punk stuff that was coming out at that time and like really into like pop music and like and obviously into Bjork and they were like, you went to Gwar when you like Bjork? Fuck you, dude. And I was like, hey, you didn't go to fucking Gwar, so shut the fuck up.
Let's see. What was the last book you read?
The last book that I read. Let me think. There's a couple of them. So, the last kind of literary, like fiction book, I guess I read was The Portrait of a Lady by Henry James. But I like literally read that because I was working on an essay about hip hop music and trying to think about how I could link the two things together somehow.
Is it good?
I like it. There's like some really
Henry James's dense stuff. It takes
when
a
was
minute
it written?
To get through.
I don't remember when it was written. It's 1890s? Old as hell.
1890s?
Okay.
1880s? Yeah, something like that.
Post-Civil War, but pre...
I was thinking about that kind of in relation to a non-literary book, or not a book, but an essay by Sylvia Winter called Unsettling the Coloniality of Being, Power, Truth, and Freedom, or whatever. And essentially, it's like her theory about this idea of understanding humanity beyond this this concept of like manhood and being that's like really limited. And she like encourages us to look out beyond that and like think beyond that and take power beyond that. And so I was thinking about that essay and thinking about Henry James' article or Henry James' book, and there's like a conversation in it where they talk about the things that are inside of us, you know, kind of manifest themselves in their environment. And I was just like, oh, this is a really interesting idea to think about on a systemic level, but there's so much conflict and things like that to be considered. So I was like, well, this is an exciting to me essay, but I don't know if anybody else did. I got a decent grade on it though, so.
Well, hey. Oh, real question. 1881. It was originally published in Atlantic Monthly between 1880 and 1881.
Oh, okay.
So I was actually really dead
Very
on.
Very close, yeah.
Yeah. You're a pretty smart story. Dude, Frank, great.
I'll remember that for trivia.
You seem like a really intelligent guy, man.
Well, I mean, I have some subject areas where I'm smart about, like, but in other ways, I'm kind of like a dumb asshole. So, you know, it's a mixed bag. I think we all are like that, even
That's
though
how we should
I'm
all.
Trying not to do that negative self-talk thing.
Rounding to the nearest 5, 10, 50, or 100, how many books do you own?
Oh, I don't even know, like,
round
well up. Over 100. Like,
I told you you're smart.
Yeah, 200, 300, 500.
Probably, like, so, like, probably, like, 200, like, physical, like, monographs and things like that, and then, like, just a ton of, like, digital books. Like, I download everything and try to read everything, and then I have a bunch of audiobooks. Like, I would not survive this.
I love audiobooks.
I do.
You know what I love?
Round, no reading. Rounding to the nearest 5, 10, 50, or 100. How many sexual partners have you had?
Whoa.
Ah! Well, you know, I don't, I...
A round number, you know?
Well, no, so the problem with that is that I don't think I could even begin to... And this, like, sounds like an
indictment.
Is it
more than number of books than you own?
No. It's but it's pretty high to the point where I'm like...
Okay, so you don't just read.
You'd have to sit,
no,
have to sit down with pen and paper and really work on it to figure it out.
It's all been very this safe sexual encounter.
This number does go to your point total.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll just say more than a baker's dozen.
Definitely more than a baker's dozen. I've been having a was lot it, of sex for a, not it, that long.
Was it bigger than a baby's arm?
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
Holding
wait,
apple?
I have a question. Who are your top three hip-hop, like, three rappers?
Top three.
Who are the best three
MCs? Who are
your
favorite three MCs of all time? Like,
yeah,
who are your
see.
Favorite three?
Oh, so people I really, really love a lot. And I'll just, like, reach across you various generations. So, I would say, yeah, I'll go for five. I love Nas, obviously. Mm-hmm. I love Foxy Brown. I love Lady of Rage. Actually, I'm just going to go full, like, with the exception of Nas, I'm just going to say that in general, it's, like, women who rap. Mm-hmm. So, I guess, like, you know, I love Nicki. I love Foxy Brown. I love Lil' Kim.
You like MC Light?
Yeah,
she's underrated. She's awesome.
Yeah, I love Azealia Banks.
Sorry,
who is
I could
like,
not
yeah. No, I appreciate that. I think that it's important for us to talk about that, too. I like her. She's
like Kay Flay?
You know, I've seen Kay Flay. I don't dislike them, but I haven't been able to.
That's the last
with
female
their...
rapper I saw. So.
Yeah, and like I have seen them live, but I haven't really gotten into their discography very much, and so it's not that I don't like them; it's that I'm not as familiar as one would.
Yeah.
And it's like I don't want to be like I love you because it's like sometimes people have a dope show, but then you go listen to their shit and you're like, I don't know if I like it. But
didn't you have a Twitter war with Azealia Banks? Was it?
Yeah, I did.
you're right. I remember that.
We eventually we squashed that, and that was good. But, like, yeah, she was mad because she was tweeting something, and she was like, I'm tired of the media, like, covering only, like, my bad tweets and not anything of the music and stuff that I'm putting out. And I was like, well, you, like, release, like, a song a year, maybe, and you release, like, 800 tweets a day. So, I mean, I cannot, and the thing is, like, the media can be unfair towards her. Honestly, they can be. I mean, her being a black woman, I think that's, like, of course, they're just going to be like, look at how aggressive and awful she is. But it's like, well, sometimes she is not right. Sometimes she does say the wrong thing. And it's like, well, if you're, you know, the system's unfair, but it's like, and my critique wasn't mean-spirited. It was like, hey, sis, protect yourself. Like, because every time she puts out a record, it's critically acclaimed. Every time she puts out a tweet, however, not the same thing.
Right.
So it's like, well, learn
the
from that.
Are thought out and planned
you
and
know.
Constructed.
And what did she say back to you?
And she was like, well, I'm writing my own records and blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
like,
I remember
and
that.
Like,
yeah.
Okay. She's like, I'm out here writing my own records. People aren't just doing this shit for me, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, with the implication that maybe somebody was writing my music for me. And it's like, no. Nope. I write my shit on a couch in a room.
So
alone.
One of Evan's, or one of Frank Friday's claims to fame is he gets some Twitter beefs.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But then we had another conversation in the future where we were talking about that. We were talking about a range of things, you know, and I expressed my admiration for her music. But actually, we ended up talking because there's that Teen Vogue article about anal sex, and she was like, oh, well, like, this is a terrible thing. Like, sexuality is not something that should be discussed in Teen Vogue, which is, you can feel that way one way or another, I guess. But in my view, I was like, you know, kids are out here having butt sex and doing it wrong. And it's like, they shouldn't be, you know, I mean, do I want them to be exposed to that kind of thing when they're young? Maybe not necessarily, but it's like, but kids are going to fuck. I mean, like, that's not like anything that's my business, but young people, like, I remember when I was like a teenager and having sex, I was not doing it very safely or intelligently.
And this is why I advocate raising all children from the ages of 12 to 18 in a barrel, and you feed them through a bunghole and then let them out when it's time to go to college.
So Riku has a year left?
Yep.
Okay.
She didn't get her invitation to Hogwarts. She's going in the barrel.
All right,
that's funny. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, do I think that young people need to be consuming like a ton of like sexual media or anything like that? No, but it's like, but especially like young queer people could definitely use more resources where they can have sex
some pointers
safely.
Yeah.
And like, because like, I mean, the potential for injury and for like infection and things like that is like kind of a little bit higher.
Things that last your whole life.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, learn and like learn about consent, and like that's the main thing, is like learn about consent and learn about how you can't really give that when you're a child.
Did you ever think that Teen Vogue would be like the voice of reason?
And I never did think that, but it's like I never thought that would happen, but it's like I have to respect it, because it's like these kids, like, and like we call them kids, and like obviously they're young people.
We're straying from the quiz.
We're getting tangential.
Very
yeah, but I'm learning about how Frank Friday is in it, you know, like
I'm a pro sex ed, everybody. That's
pro sex ed. That's all I'm going to say.
Can we have a sex ed episode?
Thank you, Frank Friday. Back to the quiz.
Every episode wasn't
the question about his top three rappers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true. So let's see. Let's see. So Nas? Who was I? And I said Nas.
You said Nas and all the ladies.
Yeah. Nas and all the women.
Lady of Rage.
Yeah.
Afropuff lady.
Yeah.
She was good. That G-Funk shit was awesome.
Who? Is the bathroom door open or closed when you use it?
Always closed. Always closed. Unless I'm really
a gentleman.
In all of history, who would you start a fist fight with?
Oh, shit. Ooh, this is a good one. This is tough. There are lots of people who I'd love to beat their goddamn asses. But
one big one.
2018, who's at the top of the list?
Okay, so 2018 at the top of the list is probably fucking... I know that he's not the most important part of this administration or anything, but Seb Gorka, I would just love to fucking punch that guy in the gut.
Who's that?
He's just an advisor to Donald Trump. I think he's like one of those people. It's just like Sheriff Clark and all those people were like, I have a fucking like master's degree. And it's like, your master's degree might as well have been written on toilet paper. So.
All right. Upon your death, where would you haunt?
Well, given my current habits, I probably would haunt Reno, Nevada. And where exactly?
Narrow it down. Let's where in see. Reno? Make it local for the listeners.
Yeah, so let's see. Well, you know, I'm thinking that if I'm being, like, flattering towards myself, chances are I would, like, haunt someplace like the Saint or Public House. But if I'm being, like, the piece of shit that I know that I can be after a few drinks, it's probably Shay's.
Yeah!
You won't be alone there. There'll be other ghosts there.
There's going to be a lot of ghosts.
And to be
Shay's.
Fair, it's like, if you know, they say that you have to die someplace to haunt it, and it's like, well, of all those bars.
We have a good chance of that happening.
Well, speaking of Shays, pleased to be scribing. Where did you lose your virginity, and how old were you?
Let's see. So,
it might not have been Shays, but you know, strange things have happened.
Other people.
No, but it is pretty wild. I like moved here. I hadn't lost my virginity yet, although I had come close a few times. And then I was like, well, I really want to get this out of the way, and so just like met somebody in my dorm at the time and just had sex in Lincoln Hall.
Yeah, freshman year romance.
Yeah.
Lincoln Hall is a very romantic building.
Yeah.
Also, doing it in college is totally like what your parents want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, finally, yes, go at college.
There Not you mine. Go. They were let down.
Why? Because it was so late?
No, it's for marriage.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
They're Catholic.
No, my mom was always like very much like, hey, chances are you're going to have sex, so, you know, just do it like safely, and that's like...
Wear a raincoat.
Yeah, exactly. She always would hit me with that, and I'd be like, Mom, I'm not trying to have sex that much, but then I guess that I was wrong.
I kind of like it, like, just fucking, well, you were out of the house and you did it? Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I wish my parents had it that good.
What, what is your favorite form of pork?
Pork. Ooh, interesting. I would say probably, oh, that's a tough one.
So many
so
choices.
There's a part of me that's like pulled pork. I really like to make pulled because I like to make my own.
I make my own too in the morning.
So. Oh my God. I can't see, this is that purity that I want to. You know, I love
No, we're talking about meats and sausage and pork chops and bacon.
Pulled
pork. Rick literally goes down to the kitchen and makes pulled pork every morning.
Well, it's a great recipe. You can, like, make really well, you know? And so there's that. And then I really love those, like, well, I don't know if this is pork or not. This may be really stupid, but I always love those, like, the braised kind of short ribs or whatever that they do, at, like, in Vietnamese cooking. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I really love.
With the nice, like, crispy on the outside.
Yes, that's what I really like. And it's hard to find it good, and it's hard not to be ambushed by different types of pork. I find that sometimes you order. Yeah. It's true. You find yourself like at these restaurants, and you're like, that's what I want. It's like, how come this is fucking different at every single place?
Yeah.
What is it?
Because it's ambushed pork. It's magical.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to switch over to our rapid-fire questions.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Rip Taylor or Richard Simmons?
Richard Simmons.
Okay. Mm. That's disappointing. Donkey or walrus? Who wins in a fight?
Yo, probably walrus.
Yeah.
Elvis or the Beatles?
Fucking Jesus Christ. Can I say neither?
Yes.
Wow. Please. Yes, you
Nobody
may.
Ever says that. That's awesome.
Ferris or Ducky?
You're
pop culture enough, you'd know that reference.
Yeah, I think Ducky.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Burgers or dogs?
Fuck.
these are the questions that stop you.
Dr. Dre or Jay-Z?
Okay, so burger, even though hot dogs are better than people give them credit for.
You're right, they're underrated.
That's true.
And unhealthy.
but then Dr. Dre or Jay-Z? I'd say Jay-Z.
Oh, you like hung your head there for a minute. You're like, Jay-Z.
Oh, I was just thinking, yeah.
cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Dogs.
AIDS or cancer? Which would you rather
Jesus
have?
Jesus fucking Christ. you know? AIDS, because there's maybe a better chance that
you
like
can
treatment can help
well
you
AIDS
out.
AIDS
like
nowadays.
It's like, you know, they might be able to get that back to the HIV area. Yeah. And the cancer... It depends on what you got.
They gotta really fuck you up to even beat cancer.
Yeah.
Vampire or werewolf?
Vampire.
Coldplay or
not?
Oh, Riku.
Riku, come on.
Riku wants to know if you're circumcised or not.
Are you circumcised?
Yes.
Or which do you prefer? Sorry.
You know, the older she gets, the creepier that question is starting to become.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Can I have both?
Oh my God. Yikes. So moving right along.
gay or ginger?
Oh, thank you, Riku.
That's funny.
Would you rather
be
gay
or
ginger?
Have red hair?
Dude, I'd be down for both.
There you go. Beat up or arrested? Would you rather be beat up or arrested?
Beat up.
Good. Well, because you as
they'll fucking shoot me.
As a black man, you're gonna get beat up when you get arrested.
Yeah, so it's like I'd rather just get the one.
Yeah. Getting beat up does last for a lot less time than getting arrested.
Do you prefer tacos or pizza?
Tacos.
Do you prefer to give a hand job or a blowjob?
Dude, a blowjob. I don't want to sit there fucking all bored, like jerking a fucking asshole off. Are you kidding?
Hard boiled eggs. Or omelets?
Ooh, shit. Well, I love omelets, but hard-boiled eggs because they're very portable, and, you know, I eat them a lot.
Do you actually carry them with you? So, like in your pockets?
So, no. So what I do, because I carry a backpack with me when I'm walking around the city every day or whatever. And, like, I, like, make them in bulk. Like, I have, like, and I steam all of them.
Actually,
and then,
I
like,
knew this about you.
Yeah.
So, I did know this about you.
I use them in all types of things. I, like, make egg salad. I just eat them, like, by themselves. Like,
the
I,
random nice. Things you know about your friends yeah.
Do you
Facebook?
See how that crazy-ass question was actually
great,
good for the show?
A great question.
Yay.
Look, Nick that belongs happens. Here.
I'm 1 for 10. Yay.
all right.
Elko or Las Vegas?
Oh.
Oh.
Have you been to Elko?
Fucking Christmas. I have been to Elko. I guess
have
Las
you been
Vegas.
To Elko?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say Las Vegas. Yeah. Although, I think that I was reading some kind of fucked up crime story about Elko, so I might be interested in like going there.
So, true story. Yeah. When we first got here, or when Evan was sitting in the room with Rick and me, we were listening to you talking about Elko a lot.
Oh, really?
The Failure Machine episode where you were just going on and on about Elko. <That's
funny. laughs> Like it's some mystical
Mecca.
It's Paris.
It's a mystical, yeah.
There's like four places that I want to go when I go to Elko.
I know, right. I want to go.
I've heard so well, much about it.
The shittiest part is I've hyped it up so much when you get to Elko, it's going to suck.
True. It'd be like, well, we did that for 2 hours. Let's go home.
I'm tabulating some scores here. And beep look, boop, boop. Evan's the winner.
Oh.
Yeah.
You did amass a wonderful score of 13,057 points.
Yeah. Dude,
nice. Good scores. Good
in
scores.
A way, we all won. We know
it was
true.
It was quite the loquacious quiz.
It was uplifting.
Yay,
and
the word of the day.
I'm going to have to look that word up.
I feel
up.
Like we're on Sesame Street right now.
Dude, I love it. You love it.
We're trying to go with more of a Pee-wee's Playhouse
oh,
kind of vibe.
Okay,
but
well,
yeah.
Sesame Street's good, too.
It is. I love Sesame Street.
Me, too.
I love Kermit Muppets. Frog here reporting live for the Worst Little Podcast. I'm really happy to have Frank Friday in studio with us right now. It's very exciting, and he's going to perform some more of that. What do the urban kids call it? That rap music?
Oh, yeah, rap hop.
Rap hop, yes, yes. Mm. Right. I know a tune. It's called It Ain't Easy Being Green.
Oh.
But it is when you've got lots of green bitches. Ha ha.
Yeah,
green bitches I can rap,
hot.
Motherfucker. I stabbed a guy at my last show.
That's like a stabbing
damn,
somebody
Kermit.
And rapping are two different skills.
That's fucked up. Get that frog yeah. out of here.
Sorry, I laughed way too hard at that. That's not what I was expecting you to say, Kermit.
Yeah, that's right, bitches.
So rude. Used to be so nice.
Well, hey, how about we get Frank to throw down some more tunes for us? You got something else, or
yeah,
you're gonna
think,
punk out?
Please. Let me think about what.
Sound like Ray Romano a little bit too.
Yeah, really.
That's funny. Let me see if I can try to do something live. It's not new, but you know, I don't think I've ever performed it like on a podcast, so it's new to y'all.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So if you want to play the one that says "Acts About Me," I'll give it a shot.
Wrap the show.
Yeah.
Go! Killers do on two legs. Used to get in group head. Class to catch up in the bank. So, do you know I've been fed? Dog, you know you've been dead since they introduced me. Don't use the phrase and loosely. I'm killing this shit, folks, you sleep. Folks, they trying to screw me. They plotting to pop their Uzis. Man, my life's a movie and envious of the beauty. I'm laughing at rappers. Truly, they thrashing to stop the hustle. Cash up in the duffel. Hold the weight like a muscle. Dude, you're gonna struggle so long as you're Friday reading. Get them sick, they dry heaving. I'm bringing them dry season. Nigga, I'm the reason they losing their stupid name. Better shine the type of late that be making them weak on sight. Bitch, let me break it down like this. Friday moving rhymes like some niggas moving bricks. And I keep a real nigga at my side to the clip. And you blast that shit off if you bastards wanna slip. Damn, why these niggas riding on my dick like it wasn't Frankie Friday put them on in this shit. That's it. I'ma have to put these fuckers down. What the fuck I gotta do to prove that I'm the best around?
apply me now, but I ain't never said that. If you got a problem, you probably should take a number. But honestly, this shit don't affect me, son. I got 99 problems, still a dick ain't one. Attitude, fuck a nigga, and this dick ain't done. You better suck that. Bastards don't deserve to rap. Been the murder cast, and that's word to Zach. I'm on some blue shit. Me and my animals getting stupid. Shoot shit at phonies, and I ain't talking about Cupid. If you think you illiter, then see me up in the roof, bitch. Wanna shoot me, then do it. You a tough guy, then prove it. Otherwise, salute me, supporter, dude, absolutely. I'm a new star, baby, welcome to my nebula. Know my name ain't Neo, but them are the M incredible. Decibels knock, they put me up on a pedestal. Conventional level, but damn it, I'm indispensable, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Fuck.
Wow. That was,
ladies and gentlemen, amazing. That was Frank Friday.
Hell yeah.
Live on the Worst Little Podcast.
Damn, dude.
Dude. That you're not fun. Just another pretty stuff. Face. What the fuck?
He's also a pretty face. But yeah.
No, not just a pretty face.
Just. Oh, okay.
You actually do stuff. And you're smart.
You actually
and
do
stuff
and you're smart and stuff. Yeah.
Jesus.
What Rick said.
So when do you expect your sequel to come out?
So
when should people be looking for it?
I'm hoping for sometime in February, but in realistically knowing myself, it'll either be randomly before I leave Reno or it'll be like sometime
September.
That's fair. Yeah, but you know, actually, I think that I'm going to try to go for probably March or April. Is like
cool
be the next
a spring
thing.
Release, nice.
Guys. This guy is in college and has a full time and a half job, pretty much, yeah.
And a fucking traveler
and a traveler,
a badass motherfucker,
and has time to put out an album.
And has time to put out like who? What are we even doing with our lives?
Yeah.
an archive of Reno music.
All right, that's
working
fair.
Very hard. Earning that Patreon money, that beautiful, stuff. Beautiful Patreon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Patreon.
You try keeping this shit up for 7 years.
I still weigh about 10,000 brick a year, even though I'm technically a foreman now.
Your mom's kept it up for 7 years.
Yeah.
So.
And your dad.
So we're all awesome, too.
Everybody's doing right.
Yeah, everybody in this room is a badass.
Very, very
exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. Really happy to have you here for the first episode.
Yes,
you are season 8, episode 1.
Ooh, what an honor. Hey, guys, thank you. I'm glad that we can make this happen, actually.
Yeah, finally.
And you got a website or anything? Anybody can like try to figure out when the album comes out?
Yeah, so FrankFriday.com is returning to the internet quarter one. So before I leave this city this next time, which will be at the end of the month. So starting February 1st, you will be able to find information about my music. You'll be able to find a lot of my old music that I was holding back before, which will be exciting. You'll finally be able to get merch. It's been a long time since I put any of that out.
Nice.
And tour dates, because this summer I'm getting out there.
Yes.
Nice. Very cool. Yes. Very cool.
We'll keep up with that and post it on the
Let us know and we'll make sure we get it up there too.
Sure thing. Thank you guys.
Get it in Kim's picks. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's great to be back. We've got a great season lined up for you. We've got so many wonderful shows in the next couple months lined up. But we're just going to leave you with our everlasting thought. For Nick Ramirez, Chewbacca, Cadillac Kim, Dogwater Dick, Brandon, and all the interns, life is short and I love you. Good night, ladies.
Good night.
Love you.
On the Worst Little Podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
This will make you feel better.
It's DogwaterStudios.com, okay?
Oh, you touched me! Now my flesh is rotting!
I'm here to do the devil's work.